Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 12 July, 2026, Romans.
Part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are studying number two of Latreia, the Feast of the Holy Days. We have noted that there are seven feasts. Four feasts related to the first advent of Christ, three feasts related to the second advent. The first feast related to the first advent was the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7, this feast portrayed the work of Christ on the cross with emphasis on redemption. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The second feast related to the first advent is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We studied that, and the third feast related to the first advent is the first fruits, and we ended with that in the first class. Now, we take up the fourth feast related to the first advent, and that is Pentecost. Pentecost is the fourth feast related to the first advent. Pentecost was a one-day feast in the first week in June. This feast occurred exactly 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Exactly 50 days afterwards. So, subpoint one, it represented the beginning of the fifth cycle of national discipline on the Jews and their dispersion throughout the world. It represented the beginning of the fifth cycle of national discipline on the Jews and their dispersion throughout the world. Two, it also represented the beginning of the church age and the times of the Gentiles. It also represented the beginning of the church age and the times of the Gentiles. Three, our Lord ascended after his resurrection. He was here on earth for 40 days. Our Lord ascended 40 days after the Passover. And 10 days later, the church age began on the day of Pentecost. So our Lord ascended 40 days after the Passover, 40 days after his resurrection, and 10 days later, the church age began on the day of Pentecost, signified by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which forms the body of Christ, the royal family of God. Point eight. Now, there is a lapse of time between the four feasts related to the first advent and the three feasts related to the second advent. So now there is an elapse of time between the four feasts related to the first advent and the three feasts related to the second advent. Subpoint one, the gap between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets is 4 months. The gap between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets is 4 months. Now, this time gap represented the church age, the intercalation of the church age, during which the royal family of God is being called out. The body of Christ is being formed in the church age. Intercalation means insertion. It is called the intercalation when the church age is inserted into the Jewish age. The age of Israel wasn't over. It was interrupted. And the church age inserted. There's still 7 years to go on the age of Israel. The last 7 years of the age of Israel is the tribulation. So before the end of the dispensation of Israel, the church age began on Pentecost, and we are now living in the church age, the insertion, the intercalation of the church age and the calling out of the royal family of God when the rapture occurs. Then the age of Israel will be completed, the last 7 years of the tribulation, second advent of Christ, and the millennial kingdom. So the gap between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets is 4 months. Subpoint one. The gap between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets is 4 months. Subpoint two, a new dispensation, the church age, was inserted into history. We are living in that dispensation. Nobody knew about this dispensation in the Old Testament. What we have here about the church age is called mousterion, church age truth. Looks like that in the Greek, M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N, mousterion. We get mystery from it. It was a mystery. They knew nothing about the church age. And the Apostle Paul, one of the great communicators of church age truth, mousterion truth, church age truth, not known about in Old Testament times, but revealed now through the apostles, especially through the Apostle Paul. So a new dispensation, the church age, was inserted into history. Subpoint three. The church age is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, totally unique in human history. All throughout the Old Testament, Satan learned about the fact that there was going to be a Messiah coming. And so he had plans and strategies to attack the line of Christ all the way through the Old Testament. Attack the line of Christ, attack the line of Christ. And then, with the incarnation and virgin birth, now he had another strategy to attack Jesus Christ himself during the first advent. But following the spiritual death, resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ at the right hand of the Father, and on the day of Pentecost, The church age began, and here were all these believers down here, and all of a sudden they're all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And now they are body of Christ. Now Satan makes up new strategies. These new strategies are to attack each one of you. You're all under attack. He's not attacking Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of honor. His attack is on the body of Christ. His attack is on every one of you. Now, are you going to be a casualty or are you going to be victorious? It's up to you. You decide. What kind of decisions you make, you're here to make decisions. You can make good decisions or bad decisions. You can make bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, to live by the lust patterns of your sin nature. You can make bad decisions to live out of fellowship with God. Or you can make good decisions to live the spiritual life. Make up your mind. I'm going to live the spiritual life. The rest of this is over. I'm going to live the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. In the short time that I have here on this earth, I'm going to advance to maturity, a virtue love brought to completion in my heart, and I'm going to glorify God to the maximum the rest of my life. You know, I hope you all get to that point that you get so damn pissed off that this is what you conclude. The rest of my life, I'm going to live the spiritual life. I'm going to make good decisions. I'm going to fulfill the ultimate objective. I'm going to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and honor Him and glorify Him the rest of my life on this earth. And we're not here that long. But this is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Now the attack is on each one of us. But God has given us the grace and the power, the armor of God that goes on in our heart. And with the armor of God, you will be victorious in this intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So sub-point three, the church age is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Four, the church age as an intercalated dispensation was unknown to any Old Testament writer. It's mousterion. The church age is mousterion. The church is mousterion. Church age truth is mousterion. It wasn't known about in Old Testament time. And this is seen in, well, let's look at some of the patterns. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, the Apostle Paul, verse 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mousterion, the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. Kept secret. For long ages past, but now it is manifested. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. The Apostle Paul makes this clear again in Ephesians 3. Let's start at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Now we're in Romans 9 and it breaks his heart. He has great soul pain because for the most part, there are marvelous exceptions, but for the most part, the Jews have rejected Christ as their Savior. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace from God, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mysterion, church age truth, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mysterion to Christu, the mystery of Christ. What is that? Which in other dispensations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been made revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. To be specific, the Gentiles now are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body of Christ, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ, Christ Jesus, through the gospel. And then turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 25. Paul again makes this very clear. Concerning this church, I have become a minister according to the dispensation from God, which was given to me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the proclamation of the Word of God, that is, the mysterion, the mystery, which has been hidden from past dispensations and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches, the glorious riches of this mystery, mysterion, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the confidence of glory. So the church age as an intercalated dispensation was unknown to any Old Testament writer. So this is the lapse of time here. The lapse of time between the four feasts related to the first advent and the three feasts related to the second advent. Subpoint 5. Doctrines pertaining to the church age are not found in the Old Testament. Church age truth is not found in the Old Testament. No church age truth was ever revealed prior to the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit for the first time on the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the dispensation of the church age. Subpoint 6. The Old Testament reveals prophetic doctrine that covered the time until the session of Christ at the right hand of the Father. The Old Testament reveals prophetic doctrines that covered that time until the session of Christ at the right hand of the Father. Then it skips the church age. It skips over the church age and resumes with revelation about the tribulation. After the church age is over, we have the rapture that ends the church age. So it resumes with revelation about the tribulation, the last 7 years of the age of Israel, and the second advent of Christ, and the millennial kingdom. So the Old Testament reveals prophetic doctrine that covered the time until the session of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of honor. Then it skips the church age and resumes with revelation about the tribulation, second advent, and millennial kingdom. Subpoint 7. All during the time of the Old Testament, there were no feasts during this 4-month gap. All during the time of the Old Testament, there were no feasts during this 4-month gap between the first Advent feast and the second Advent feast. So all during the time of the Old Testament, there were no feasts during this 4-month gap between the first Advent feast and the second Advent feast. All right. Point 9. After the 4-month gap, we have 3 second Advent feasts. After the 4-month gap, we have the 3 second Advent feasts. 10. The first feast related to the second Advent is the Feast of Trumpets. The first feast related to the second Advent is the Feast of Trumpets. Subpoint 1, this feast represented the termination of the fifth cycle of discipline to Israel. The termination of the fifth cycle of discipline to Israel. Two, it represented the regathering of Israel. The regathering of Israel. Three, it represented the establishment of Israel as a nation, restored as the client nation to God. Four, the Feast of Trumpets puts the spotlight on the regathering of Israel at the Second Advent. The Feast of Trumpets puts the spotlight on the regathering of Israel at the Second Advent. Oops.
Anybody got good knees? Come up here. What are you laughing at, Chris? I mean, why didn't you run up here?
The last subpoint was subpoint 4. This puts the spotlight on the regathering of Israel at the Second Advent. 5. Then the Lord Jesus Christ. He's regathered all the Jews. He judges the unbelievers. And he also resurrects the Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs. So when he returns at the second advent, he judges all the unbelievers, Jewish unbelievers. He resurrects the Old Testament believers and tribulational martyrs, and he brings them with him into the millennial kingdom with the Jewish believers he's rescued who are living at the end of the tribulation. Therefore, the Feast of Trumpets is the assembly feast. The assembly feast. All right. So that's the first feast related to the second advent, the Feast of Trumpets. The second feast related to the second advent is the Feast of Atonement, and that's where we're going to start the next time I'm in the pulpit here. I hope I'm in the pulpit next Sunday. I have no idea. I might be in heaven next Sunday. I don't know. But anyway, I might be back here. I don't know how long that's going to be. That's all in God's plan, but I can't wait to get back in the saddle and get teaching. I got all these classes. This is great stuff. And it's all ready to go, but come back. I won't be here Tuesday. That's when surgery is. And I can't tell you exactly when I will. I would love to be back by next Sunday, but we'll take it one day at a time. All right, with our heads bowed. Father, we're always amazed at your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.